1, 1, 2.
Welcome to Two for the Road with Matt and Adam.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Adam. We are a movie pairing podcast every week, almost every week. pick a theme, recommend a couple movies to the other guy based on the theme that he has not seen, watch, and discuss. And we got about a 25-year age gap between us, so there's lots of things that we both have not seen.
Right.
So yeah, we're kind of a weird situation. I feel like this is like after hours or something, like... I think we should be drinking bourbon.
This is the latest movie podcast we've done.
Well, in a long time. We started in the evening, remember?
Yeah,
we used to actually drink bourbon while we did it. Bring it back.
I think that's what we got to do this winter. Just bring back the bourbon.
Especially when it's dark at 5.
Yeah. I just can't drink it at 2.
Understood. Maybe we'll bring it back some weeks.
Well, that was the whole purpose, was 2 for the road.
Yeah, right. Then we went sober for a while.
What a
waste.
Had to change our schedule. So,
but yeah. So this week we are looking at gambling.
I think we said casinos, but it didn't really. One of the movies didn't really fit.
Which one? They're both casinos. Depends on how you look at it, I guess.
Start out with croupier. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it is.
Croupier.
A word I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I didn't know what it meant.
So croupier is just a person, because he was doing the roulette, but also doing blackjack.
Yeah, whoever is running the gambling game, I guess. Okay.
Just the game master is the croupier. Yeah.
Clive Owen.
I thought it was a young Clive Owen. I was just looking up how old he was in the movie. How old do you think he was when he filmed that?
I'm looking at a picture of him. He looks like late 20s.
34.
Oh, wow. He did look young in this.
I mean, he's got like the dyed hair, which was popular at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, doing the Slim Shady thing.
One of my questions: why is he dressed like Boy George?
Yeah,
Did you see that? Why is he dressed like Boy George?
So, I think the fashion was very weird.
Right.
I don't know if it was popular at the time, but like, he was kind of dressed like an interesting female character would dress in a John Hughes movie.
Exactly. Yes. Or, what's his name? The guy from Three and a Half Men.
John Cryer?
Yeah, Cryer. Right. Yeah, he looks like John Cryer.
But like 10 years later, because this movie was 98.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, because we'll get into it, but this movie was kind of like a sneaky noir.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought maybe this, like, you know, like the hat and like the overcoat, maybe it was sort of like a homage to like the old Bogart style.
Right. The hat didn't do it, but the coat did. But he just looks strange.
Mm, because he's pretty tall.
Yeah.
So he's like just gangly. He looks like a gangly version of like Ali Sheedy's older, ugly sister or something.
Ali Sheedy. Yeah.
Very bizarre.
Another one. Yeah, she dressed like that too, I think. Yeah.
All right. So, again, the reason I recommend this movie is because it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
And like the algorithm was like, I think Adam would like this. So I checked it out. And I got about 20 minutes in, and I was like, I think maybe Matt would find this interesting.
I didn't
know how much you would like it, because I hadn't even finished it when I recommended it.
Well, I mean, I liked it a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a gambler.
bit of a poker player.
I'm a bit of a poker player myself, but I thought it was interesting. And this, Mike Hodges directed this, and this is our second Mike Hodges. He did Get Carter, which we saw earlier.
And he also did Flash Gordon, which you have not seen.
I've not seen.
That's coming sometime.
Okay.
I was thinking Flash Gordon and Flesh Gordon, but I think Flesh Gordon is a hardcore pornography. I thought it was kind of like goofy pornography.
It is kind of goofy pornography.
But is it like
I don't think. No, I think it's more
I'm
like
doing the hand motion that no one can see.
I think it's more like Skinamax or something. Yeah, that kind of porno.
I don't know, just look goofy.
Uninteresting portal.
I watched the trailer and I was like, I still can't tell. It looks, yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Flash Gordon is definitely worth checking out. Yeah, right. So the same guy who directed Get Carter directed Flash Gordon.
Right.
How does that make any sense?
I have no idea.
And then he directed this.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I mean, it's not great by any means.
I thought it was a first director's movie.
Mm.
It felt very like indie, low budget.
Yep.
It felt like someone had this idea kicking around their head for 20 years and they finally got a chance to make it.
Yeah. Well, so what did you like it or?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't think I'll never revisit it.
No. I don't think I will either.
I don't know how much I'll think about it, mm-hmm. you know, afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But it did have some interesting aspects to it. I mean, it's really just about this guy, right?
Right.
Like, it's just a character study, essentially. The,
mm-hmm.
Like, things happen, and you're like, okay. Like, you know, like, he meets this... we'll get to it, I guess. But, I think it's very much like a movie for writers, you know?
A writer's movie.
It's a writer writing about writing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, the voiceover is actually a guy writing a book in his head.
Right. So I was like, okay, they definitely saw Train Spotting and they're trying to pull something here, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Exactly. I think there were some scenes where you just went, I don't know what's going on here, but you know, and it was kind of telegraphed. You could see it coming from a mile away, the ending kind of, you know. And that whole, and we'll get to that, but yeah, let's just start.
Let's jump in. All right.
Yeah, let's just jump in. Now I'm starting to think about it a little.
So I guess, when were you in?
I don't know. I guess when he got, I think it was his job interview. When he went for his job interview for this, his father got him a job interview at a casino because he was doing nothing. And that was interesting, I thought, because he's studying the guy already. He knows he can't count. He knows this and he knows that. So it's kind of cool. I like that. Psychological.
I agree. That was one of the more interesting scenes. You kind of get like... I never had considered the job interview process for a blackjack dealer.
Yeah. Show me what you can do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it exists. Yeah. We saw it in both movies, right?
Yes.
14. Two men. 19, 16, too many. 13, 18, 14, 19, 20.
What's the count?
Minus 9.
I make it minus 8.
Minus 9.
What makes it so sure?
It's a rule. Always stand by your first count. The odds are you're right.
Good call.
You want me to check?
I said, good call.
Yeah. So, that for me was also the most interesting scene because you kind of got a sense of, it kind of introduced you like, okay, this is what kind of movie this is going to be.
It also told us, it told me anyways, that he's smarter than anybody that's around.
At least thinks he is.
He says he thinks he is, but he's pretty bright. You know.
He's pretty bright, but also a dick.
Yeah, he's a dick.
And we get all that in that first scene. And I was looking, I was like, because I was hoping that Clive Owen actually learned how to deal cards, but mm-hmm. There's never a shot with his head and his hands in the same shot. So definitely they got
it. That takes years of studying. I don't know. I played poker for years. I still can't shuffle worth a shit.
Well, even just like doing the chips, you know, like that's a...
But I knew some guys that were dealers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
I
know you knew dealers.
Yeah, I know. Well, I've known several kinds of dealers, car dealers. And but yeah, I knew a couple guys that were dealers out in Vegas. And, I actually played poker with one of them one night, and I know he cheated.
Just couldn't figure it out.
He set it up it wasn't him that won the hand, but he was dealing.
Uh-huh.
I knew it, you know. And I never played with them again.
Yeah, of course not.
No, I got to play with you guys. Come on. Everybody at this table knows you just cheated, but nobody can say anything.
Right, can't prove it, right?
Yeah, I can't prove it.
Yeah, so he gets hired to this casino. Pretty strict rules at the casino, but it seems like he kind of likes it, right? Yeah. So Clive Owen's character, he's like a kind of a grumpy or moody, maybe?
He's very moody.
He's a moody writer.
Yeah.
He's a casino dealer who hates gamblers.
Mm-hmm.
He never gambles himself.
Right. His father was a degenerate gambler.
Right. So there's that connection. We meet his father very briefly in the beginning.
Telephone call.
Yeah, he's a liar, right? He's lying to him. He starts this casino, sells his car. We get a shot of his home life. His girlfriend is like works in like the prosecutor's office or something.
Well, she did, I think, and then now she's working in a store, like a store detective.
Okay.
That's what she does, is watch people steal shit.
All right.
You know?
And he's always got vodka in the freezer, so he got a good
guy.
Yeah. Snapshot of their home life.
Yeah.
So yeah, just then we kind of see him as, then you know, these then like the players come into place, right? Mm-hmm. He notices there's this woman that's laundering money through the casino.
Mm-hmm.
We meet this woman dealer named Bella. We see, you know, he's there's a cheating gambler, and he catches him.
Yeah.
And one of the croupiers is kind of cheating and too, he knows that too. Yeah. So it's like, you know, as you're watching, you're like, okay, I guess all this is going to add to something. But like, you know, you're just like, God, we're like 40, we're like halfway through the movie, like nothing's really going on. It's like,
no, then he, yeah. And, you know, it was the last half hour, I think, when he gets approached with the ripoff. But yeah, it took a long time for that to happen, didn't it? Usually that sets up somewhere around the beginning of Act 2, maybe, kind of thing. You know, where Act 1, you figure out who everybody is, and then 2, the plan gets put into place by the players you've already met, and then the third act is the plan itself. But yeah, we don't get the plan till like there's a half an hour left in the movie. It goes pretty quickly.
Right. And even before that, like he meets Bella, and they have like a fling, and she's referring to the cheating croupier. I don't even remember his name. I forgot to write it down. And she's like, yeah, he just wants to like fuck the world or something.
Right. Right.
He's like, oh, that's my character for the book. Then we get this like, kind of awkward. See, this is when I was kind of out. Like,
yeah.
The book stuff I thought was a little bit overdone, especially when like a character would ask him a question or say something, and then he'd like respond in voiceover.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's like I was just a little too much. I don't know. Just
after a while, it was hard to follow. Yeah, well, is it okay? Is it the book or is it the real thing? I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Well, then it's like chapter 5, and we just kind of lay out what's going on. I don't know. Just it was sort of an overly done narrative device. It's, I don't know. It works sometimes. It works sometimes. And oh yeah, also I'll run through some scenes later. So the South African woman shows up again. She's obviously trouble.
Yeah.
Bella turns up at his house. Says, you know, your boyfriend, you know, the girlfriend's there. Yeah. Anytime someone knocks your door at 2 a.m., don't answer
it. Don't answer it. It's never good. It's never the clearinghouse with a check. You know, nothing like that.
Rarely good news at 2 a.m.
And they're both up anyways, you know. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, that was this whole thing, right? Yeah. He's got to unwind.
Yeah.
Because I guess the job is so tense because you're constantly watching people.
Well, sure. I couldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Couldn't pay attention.
No, me neither. It would be terrible. Place would be bankrupt. Bella shows up. He's like, oh, well, you know, he cheated with me and he got me fired. What was the... He shopped me. Shopped.
Shopped
I like,
me.
I was like, I never heard that before.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I was like, to get new British slang. Yeah, I guess that means like sold me out.
Yeah, I guess he's...
I mean, it's kind of similar, right? So he shopped me.
Yeah. And he, you know, of course he didn't. I don't know if somebody else did.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Matt, the other dealer.
That's his name,
yeah,
Matt.
Yeah.
So then, smash cut, rich guy house party.
Yeah.
come on over to my place in the country. We'll get drunk and play tennis, and then get even drunker and play cards.
Yeah, that really seemed like a real, fix. You know, just sort of like, okay, we need a way where these two get together. Mm-hmm. You know, and how about a weekend in the countryside? I don't know you, but I'm going to take you out here. And,
yeah. Now, have you ever invited me to a country house and make me play tennis?
Well, we forgot that his girlfriend is killed.
No, that's later.
Oh, that's later. That's yeah. Right. That's right. It's after the... Yeah.
So he's with the South African woman at the country house. She kind of lays out this plot. He kind of agrees to it. Kind of does. It's kind of unclear.
He's wavering.
At this point, I was like, is he in? I couldn't tell. And maybe that's the whole point.
Right.
He's got a poker face, ironically enough. So then we got this... him and his wife are back together. His girlfriend are back together suddenly.
Afterwards.
She's like, whatever. Like, yeah, you did kind of semi-rape a woman in a kitchen, but whatever. We're cool. It's kind of weird, unclear plot to catch a man cheating while he's betting. Just cause a distraction.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean... Oh, yeah. They leave the country place. She leaves early. And he... It seems like he's in the plot. And she says, I'll call you. You know. So she calls and... You know, when they get... And they're back together, him and his girlfriend. They're back together. And here comes the call. Girlfriend hears the message and erases it. Calls the cops.
And she also finds money.
Right. She finds a bunch of money.
I mean, when you're committing a crime, don't leave a message.
No. That's just so stupid. And it was stupid of him to say, you know, I'm with somebody, so don't make, you know. That.
Right.
Never admit to a crime on a tape.
No. Or a podcast. Yeah. So the plan happens, kind of. Like, This scene, I had to, like, watch it 2 or 3 times. So... Right, so, I mean, because, like, stuff was happening in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You had to kind of pay attention. So, the guy that comes in was the
distractor.
He was the distractor, right? And he was, and that was the guy, for sure.
Yeah.
And he, like, gets caught cheating and jumps up and starts kicking the hell out of our man.
To make it look like he has nothing to do with it.
Meanwhile, other dudes are sliding in the back with guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they're walking someone out, like, at gunpoint. And it seemed like the... Pit boss was in on it, or like the casino manager was in on it, because he kind of slips out when all this is happening,
yeah.
And then he kind of comes back in when it's over.
Was the police there?
I don't.
It was very. That was what I was talking about earlier. This scene makes no sense to me at all. I don't know what happened. You know, who are these guys? Why is this Chinese guy telling his bodyguard to stop somebody?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was going on. Who was who? And
yeah,
it made no sense.
Was the Chinese guy in on it? Like I had no idea what happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a heist movie. Where like it's like anti heist movie. It's like it happened. We saw it happen. We just don't know what happened.
Right. And then you know everything's kind of forgotten.
Okay, so I thought I was a moron when I was watching that, because I kept watching. I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. I have no idea who these people are.
I meant to go back and watch it again, because I still have no idea. And I probably will. You know, I say I won't revisit it. I'll revisit the scene, because I really need to know what happened.
Yeah, just diagram that one scene. Like, what the hell happened? So, Marion comes. So, he's in the hospital. Marion shows up.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, how did you find me? It's like, what the... Like, all right. They kind of break up, I guess.
Yeah.
Next
he
scene.
He throws food, and then they make up, and then...
He's a moody writer,
he
man.
Is a moody writer. Moody writer. Yeah, women love the moody writers.
That's true. She even says at one point, like, I wanted to live with a writer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're no writer.
Every young girl's fantasy to live with a moody writer who dresses like Boy George. So Marion's dead.
Mm-hmm. Gets killed by a hit-and-run driver or something? Are we not supposed to think this had something to do with the ripoff?
Are we supposed to think
that? I don't know. I'm so lost, but at this point, I don't even know if the ripoff occurred. You know, and why is suddenly she dead?
Mm-hmm.
What point does that make?
I don't know. Because he's free, I guess?
I guess.
I mean, he could have just left her, but maybe he's not strong-willed enough to do that. So Marion's dead. There's a weird conversation in, like, the identification, like, body identification, the morgue, I guess,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the dude's like, yeah, I loved her, by the way. It's like, all right. See ya.
Yeah, I think from the moment of the ripoff to the rest of the movie, it just didn't make sense.
Now, is there like this other extra like meta layer of this being a book and some of it's real and some of it's not that we're just not getting?
That's what I was kind of thinking after it was over. I went, I'm not sure which was book, which was it was supposed to be book. Yeah, I don't know.
I just felt like a moron watching it. Like, I was like, I can't figure this out. I don't know what's happening. It's not clear.
I'm liking this movie a lot less than half an hour ago.
Kind of liking it more. So to add like a little bit more to that, then the next scene, we go back to the Greek restaurant. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, is this even happening, right? Because suddenly there's this black woman. I don't think there's any black people at all to the point of this movie.
No.
And she's like, I think she's like even like wearing like all white.
Mm-hmm.
And like her car is the car that he sold, right?
Right.
So I mean, so like that. I mean, all that stuff is just too random to be real.
Right. It's got to be a book.
A story.
I don't know. I'm not sure. You're right. It didn't make sense. Suddenly he ends up with a. Yeah, the only black person in the whole movie. I don't know if there's any in the casinos.
All of London, apparently.
All of London, and she's driving his old car.
So I'm like, okay, is this Jack or is this Jake?
Jake.
He's an excellent writer. See how he did that? So yeah, book gets published. It ends with a phone call, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yanni, who didn't know her name until that moment,
right,
was a setup the whole time. His dad sent her. I guess they're getting married.
Yep.
And he's living with Bella, and he has a sense of humor about it. And that's credits. Okay.
Credits roll.
Yeah.
I have a really good friend who used to tell people he had a brother named Jake, a twin brother. And whenever he did things wrong, it was his twin brother Jake.
Is this grade school?
No, this is like out in bars. These women believe it.
Wow.
Man, my brother Jake. God, I can't believe that asshole.
What was your friend's name?
Paul.
Oh, okay. At least he wasn't like... You know,
yeah,
Jack,
you know. Yeah.
I'm Matt. So here's a question for you.
Okay.
And we usually do the questions at the end, but maybe it fits better here. Like, what was the message of this? Like, what was I supposed to take away from this? I guess Jack was finally happy because he could live like a detached life, and he could like revel in, because both these movies have this kind of theme that, or at least partly, mm-hmm. that the dealers hate the gamblers.
Right.
And at least in the next movie, one of the guys who's taking everyone's money just doesn't even want the money. He just wants people to lose.
Right.
And the same with this croupier. He just wants people to lose, really. He's happy to like just watch them throw it all away. But like, these are people who are willing, I mean, or not willing, but like, I don't know, like, they're taking a chance, but he never would. He lives in such a, like, a small life. I don't know.
They're all taking chances, and he takes none, I guess.
No.
I guess that's what we're supposed to... I don't know.
Now he had become the still center of that spinning wheel of misfortune. The world turned round him, leaving him miraculously untouched. The croupier had reached his goal. He no longer heard the sound of the ball.
And he ends up with Bella, who also seems pretty detached herself. So I guess two detached people are bliss.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's really... She seems a little crazy.
She does seem a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, do you have it? Oh, it's that guy.
No, actually, I didn't.
I didn't either. You didn't recognize Mr. Chai? No, I have nothing either. No. Who stole it?
I guess nobody.
I mean, by default, it's Clive Owen.
Yeah,
right?
Clive Owen. I like him. I do. I don't think this. I don't know. I've seen him in better movies.
He was still kind of figuring out at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is 98.
Yeah.
Trying to pull up his IMDb real quick. I'll tell you while I do that. I'll tell you who didn't steal it. The unstealing it. What would be the opposite of stealing it? The donation.
Donation. Award. Yeah.
Donating. There's a woman who tried to pick him up at a bar. And she's like, you don't gamble, but do you smoke? And he's like, sometimes. And she's like, how about now? It's like, what? Like, what? I don't know, just the way she delivered it was about as good as what I just did. But she was getting a check for it. But yeah, I am very unimpressed with her. So Clive Owen, I'm trying to pull up his filmography real quick. I'm guessing he didn't do much before this. Oh, I'm wrong. He did a bunch of stuff. His first TV series was in 87. So.
Wow. So he'd been around for about 11 years, 10, mm-hmm. 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a star by then, was he? Or
I don't. Maybe in England?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I mean, Gosford Park, 2001. Born Identity, 2002. So I'm guessing right around that is when he was becoming, you know, a guy you might see on, you know, Conan O'Brien or whatever.
Children of Men. Have you ever seen that? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great. No.
I have seen the one scene. There's like a one, like, good, like, long, like, uncut shot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Your shot's supposed to be, like, really... I have seen that. All right, so no one really stole it. Matt, any takeaways that a community college film professor might point out in this movie?
It was very convoluted and not easy to understand. This is the anti, you know, screenwriter. This is the screen, the script I would give my class to read and say, see if you can make sense of this.
This is the don't section.
Yeah, right.
Let's watch this heist scene.
Yeah.
Let's really watch it. Yeah, I might need to break that down frame by frame because maybe we're just dummies. Maybe someone's listening to this just like banging their head against the wall. Like, how do they not get it as clear as day?
I have no idea. I mean, I generally can figure things out pretty quickly. I'm glad I didn't show it to Gloria. She, you know, I would have had to...
She would have been asleep.
Yeah, she would have been
asleep. All right, Matt, any lines that stood out to you?
Not really.
That's a shame because this is about, it's about a writer writing.
Yeah.
A couple. Okay. I like this line because it kind of revealed a lot. It was a very quick way to like reveal a lot about the relationship between Clive and his girlfriend, Marion. He's using the third person because now he's using his writer voice.
Mm-hmm.
She was a romantic and thought he was too. I was like, pretty good.
Of course.
And then they're having a fight and she's like, do you love me or whatever? And he's like, you're my conscience.
Don't you have your own conscience?
Exactly. I love the line, you're my conscience.
Yeah.
It's not a yes.
No.
Not at all. Any scenes we haven't mentioned that you want to revisit?
Mm-hmm. No.
I'm trying to think real quick. I briefly mentioned the when he has his moment with Bella.
Uh-huh.
Pretty rapey, but...
Yeah, that was... I was very uncomfortable with that scene.
But I guess, I mean, hey, I guess...
Rape's not my thing, I guess.
Yeah, Matt's coming out firmly on the anti-rape stance. Yeah, I guess that was it. I think everything else we mentioned. I mean, just the... we didn't mention the... your friend did it. You said, like, or I guess not your friend.
Yeah.
When he dealt the hand and everyone thought they had, like, a full house. Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. And real dealers can do that. I mean,
yeah, apparently
the ones you don't want to play cards with, and everybody, it took everybody a long time to figure out what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bad enough, you know, the guy that I was playing, it was only two of us left in the hand. It wasn't six people with, you know, I had a full house aces over, and the guy, and somebody else had four of a kind. So bad beat.
That's a bad beat.
I got up and left the table.
Yeah, you didn't slam your fist through it.
No.
All right, Matt, any lingering questions or anything we haven't? Any final thoughts you want to mention about Croupier?
I don't know if I can recommend this. I mean,
it's on Netflix.
I guess if it's on Netflix, if you check it out. I mean, especially if you're into like gambling and stuff like that, or into Clive Owen, I don't know.
It won an award from the National Board of Review, which sounds very generic.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of their top 10 films of 2000.
Holy.
Which came out in 98, so. Interesting. I don't know. It's a weird movie. It's It's not bad.
No, I keep going back and forth. Everybody should check it out. Make up your own mind.
If you like Clive Owen, you'll probably like it.
Yeah.
Definitely a snapshot of 1990s England, I would say. All right, Matt, you want to guess the scores?
I'm going to go... I think it's below the Scarecrow. I think it's 7-2.
7-1.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty close. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think 7 is probably about accurate. That's like kind of, for me, I'm like, that's a 7. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. It's far from classic.
Right.
And probably doesn't really merit much of a rewatch or anything like that. But yeah, that was, I think, 20,000 people checking in on that at IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes, a little bit kinder to it. What do you think for the tomato meter?
88?
95.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a little disappointed in our fellow critics.
I am too. Yeah, our fellow critics. Not like I slipped that in. Let's see. I'm trying to find a... Yeah, and then the audience, what do you think?
I'm going to go 8.
Close, 79. I guess the critics liked it more. Maybe there's some stuff that we're just not picking up on.
I don't know. You have to watch it again, I guess.
Maybe. Okay, here's a couple of positive reviews here. Okay. This is from Newsweek. 20 years after it was made. Coolly hypnotic, the lean British sleeper croupier is a reminder that movies don't have to wave their arms and scream to hold our attention. And you have to make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much
it. I think it held our attention because we were trying to figure out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. And there is no... Oh, there's a Greek consensus. It's so long, it didn't look like one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The writer slumming for human truths and real experience is a common enough story, but this cool-headed and slick thriller provides a gut-churningly compelling backdrop to a look at our darker sides.
What?
Yeah. What movie did this person watch?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we could have maybe used a little bit more like Clive Owen introspection, darker side.
Yeah, that would have been more interesting. Well, all we saw was mood, pretty much.
Droopy dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, him looking kind of dour on the subway was not really cutting it.
No.
But, yeah, he could have, yeah, could have maybe done a little bit more of that. Like, you know, because he is supposed to be like this massively detached person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he keeps...
being more of a sociopath or something.
Well, he keeps getting drawn to these people. Like,
it's... Yeah.
All right, Matt, you want to take a break and come back and talk about Molly's Game?
Yep.
Second movie in the casino theme is 2016 or 2017's Molly's Game.
Yep, Aaron Sorkin, based on a book, true story, I guess.
Aaron Sorkin's directorial debut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
You couldn't tell?
Yeah, it was kind of a mess.
It had that Sorkin, like...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not... Far be it from me to cast dispersions against another person, but I mean, he's got to be doing tons of coke, right?
Right.
He just, or he has severe attention deficit disorder because it's just like think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. He's just it's noticeable. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And like, now we're in the past. Now we're in the future. Now we're in the past. Now we're in the future. And it's cool. I mean, it worked for something like this, but mm-hmm. it just, I mean, he's got that. I mean, he directs like he writes.
Right.
And I think it works a lot better as a writer.
Yes. Walk and talk.
Oh, man. We'll get to it when we talk about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this is based on, as you said, it's based on. So, okay. So, I mean, when did this story take place? I guess is my question.
It was like the 90s?
It's that long ago?
Or maybe. I can't remember now. No, just a 10-year period. Probably 2000s.
Because one of the main characters is based on Tobey Maguire, right?
Player X.
So when the hell was he famous? I mean,
yeah, he hasn't. He just finally made a movie. He'd been absent for like 6 or 7 years.
He wasn't famous in the 90s, though, was he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Tobey Maguire?
I think so.
Now I gotta look this up. I should have done this earlier. I'll look it up. yeah, I'm trying to figure out like when it took place. I thought it was like the early 2000s or something. I guess my question was, how famous was this story? Like, I don't really remember hearing anything about it.
I don't either.
But if I was a 13-year-old, then I guess I probably wouldn't have been on my radar. But I just couldn't figure out. When it actually happened.
Yeah, I don't know. It's because they do reference some.
Okay, so it was the 2002 Winter Olympics when she got injured.
Okay.
So a few years after that. So yeah. That makes sense because they reference a real estate guy. Like, you're losing money in the houses. So mm-hmm. that must have been like around right. when all that was collapsing, I guess. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I was grad school.
Yeah,
Korea checked out. Like, all right.
I never heard of it. I was like a news junkie back then. I've never I don't remember it at all.
Because it seems like the people in the story are like, "Oh my God, you're Molly!"
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I just couldn't get a sense of like what the hell this, you know, how important this was. Mm-hmm. All right, so this was based on this woman. She was an Olympic or near Olympic. Level athlete, gets injured, ends up becoming a poker player to the rich, writes a book about it. And so I guess when they were shopping the book around, she handpicked Sorkin to write for her. Because that's like, I guess that was her favorite writer.
Okay.
And
he decided to direct too.
I guess. Maybe that was part of the deal. And yeah, it's, I don't know, like, she looks so good in it. You know what I mean? Like, she's the smartest, nicest person in every situation.
Yeah, she's always very faithful. Got to keep her name. That's her main thing. It's her grandmother's name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a bit of a drug addict, but that was just because she's so dedicated to the game. You know, it's like, oh. Like,
she was greedy.
Right. I mean, it's just like, okay, you wrote the book about yourself. So.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, when were you in?
I was pretty much in from the very beginning. I've seen this. Well, I watched it twice. Watched it with Gloria one night, and then, or two nights, over two nights, and then I watched it again.
What was her review?
She likes it. She likes Jessica Chastain, except to the shoes she wears. She always talks about her shoes. She always wearing high heels with little spikes. And
oh.
She just drives Gloria crazy.
Why?
I don't know. Because she just had something to drive her crazy.
Okay.
But she liked it. I mean, because we watched Miss Sloan, too, which is another Jessica Chastain movie, which is really good. We should watch it. I mean, we'll watch it sometime for the show.
I think this is my first Jessica Chastain movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is it? Zero Dark Thirty? Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
She's made some really good movies. But, yeah, she plays the same person, pretty much.
Well, there's a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was probably in the, you know, the scene where she lands on her head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. I don't know. I it's hard to like blame Sorkin for being Sorkin,
mm-hmm.
but like, you know, that intro where it's like da 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 and da 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 and da 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 and da da da, and then guess what happened? Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess he kind of invented that, but it's like, I'm a little bit tired of it. But
yeah,
I didn't expect her to land on her head, so I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
My father's at the bottom of the slope, telepathically telling me to check my line.
Check your line.
I check my line. Good snow contact, calm upper body, legs together, good shape, no line deviation. Set up for the D-spin and stick the landing. Now, two things you need to know before the second trick, which will be a 720. The first is that when visibility is bad the way it is now, race officials toss pine boughs on the course so the skiers have some foreground depth reference. The second is that the tightness of your bindings is determined by what's called a DIN setting. If you're a beginner, your DIN setting is probably a 2 or 3. If you're an experienced weekend skier, it's probably 7 or 8. Mine's 15. My boots are basically welded to my skis, right? So how does this happen? It happened because I hit a pine bough that had become frozen in the snow. And I hit it so precisely that it simply snapped the release of my bindings. Right in that moment, I didn't have time to calculate the odds of that happening because I was about to land pretty hard on my digitally remastered spinal cord, which was being held together by spare parts from an Erector set.
Okay, so I don't know. Does going through the plot make sense? Maybe a little bit?
A little bit.
So she's entered, moves to LA, becomes an assistant for... I think his name is Jeremy Strong, the Secession guy,
mm-hmm.
which is, this is the character from Secession. He's playing the same character,
yeah.
which is nice. So she gets into like this whole gambling world. I'll go through it as the movie went through it,
mm-hmm.
not like linearly. Right?
Okay, just that makes so, more sense.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's in the world of gamble. You see, she's kind of like gets into this like game where it's all these high stakes players. She gets tipped out. She's making like 3 G's a week just from that.
Working for some real dick.
She's got the dollar signs in her eyes. Mm-hmm. Flash forward. She's, you know, under a criminal... She's FBI buster. She's under criminal indictment, whatever. Meets Idris Elba. Trying to get him to be her lawyer. The Russian mob is involved. Flashback to the game. She starts bringing in fish. which are... So this is one thing this movie did well, mm-hmm. I thought... Is that, well, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. So, this movie, I think, had to make poker make sense
mm-hmm.
for your average audience goer, audience member, and I think it did that pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And it didn't concentrate on the game itself.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because we're more interested in what's going on at the table and not what's on the table.
Right, it's not Rounders.
No, it's not Rounders or Cincinnati Kid or something.
Yeah, but there are some points where you like to make this scene make sense. You have to know that this is what's happening,
right.
And I thought they laid that out pretty clearly and pretty briefly.
Very Sorkin like everything. This is the game right here. Yeah.
So she starts bringing in fish so Player X can eat them up. Player X is, we guess, Toby McGuire is supposed to be. Flash forward to the future, it just becomes her lawyer. Flash back to the past, Molly takes over the game by basically just, this guy is, like you said, he's a dick, so mm-hmm. she knows she's going to get snaked, so she snakes him first.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. old double reverse snake.
Yep.
Molly takes over the game, we kind of get to meet some of these characters. We got Bad Brad, who's just a
terrible card player.
But he's there for the camaraderie.
Right. I don't have many friends. Yeah. I like losing $500,000 a week.
Infuriating. We meet Harlan, who's just sort of a gruff, you know.
A real poker player.
Right.
That's the kind of guy you see at a casino in Vegas just folding almost every hand they get. They rarely stay in. Mm-hmm. And when they do, everybody leaves.
He's got a bit of a freak out,
mm-hmm.
which is a kind of a turning point where she realizes, oh, crap, I do need to sort of protect myself a little bit more because she's exposed, right? She's the house money. Mm-hmm. They're taking it, and she's just relying on them to pay her back because most of her clients are mega wealthy
right.
and ain't no thing, right?
Right.
So she finds out that Player X has been staking Harlan. She doesn't like that.
Yep.
So, which basically means that he's getting a cut of his winnings.
Right.
And she thought, well, if everyone else finds out about that, it seems like they're in the old cahoots. You don't want that, right?
Yeah, because this guy didn't look, Harlan didn't look or act like any of the other players. And he was suggested by Player X. So she should have thought, she should have realized something was up with that. Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard to be critical when you know all that dough is coming in, right? Yeah. So then Player X tries to undermine Molly. He's like, oh, maybe we should just cap your tips. And then he takes the game from her.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing at Dave's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew Tobey Maguire was such an asshole?
I think that's why he quit acting when this movie came out. Wow, yeah, he seemed like a real dick.
Yeah, he seemed nice in the beginning, and then...
Yeah, yeah.
Real dick.
Mm-hmm.
So she is starting to set up her New York City game.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting involved with some more shady characters, right? It's not Ben Affleck anymore. It's a lot of names that end in Otsky or whatever.
Yeah, she needs more players, so she gets this guy to bring in some Russians. Bad move.
I mean,
don't you know about this?
Have you ever been at a party and thought, God damn it, this needs some Russians?
From Brighton Beach.
Right. Just, never happens. She starts up with the drugs, doing the games almost every night. There was one scene where she decides, so... Like this idea of like raking the pot, mm-hmm. which I'd never heard of, where the house takes a cut mm-hmm. of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And so her dealer is like, you got to do this again because you're overexposed. You got millions of dollars, quote unquote, on the street, meaning that...
People owe you money.
Right. They could just not come back.
Yeah.
It's not like she doesn't have any muscle. She doesn't have a hitman or anything. It's just her.
Right.
Like she's just kind of relying on the kindness of strangers, essentially. Mm-hmm. So she decides to rake the pot in the middle of a game. Is that how
yeah,
it works?
Yeah, that was a really. If I was playing in that hand, I'd be going, "What? What? I've been here 2 years and I've never seen you rake a pot."
Right.
What's going on?
Yeah, there was not there's no ringing of a bell. Like, gentlemen, we have an announcement. New rule. That didn't happen.
I always, whenever I had a card game, I used to have a regular card game at my house.
Mm-hmm. Did
I
you rake the pot?
I did. I would take a chip out everyone just to pay because I supplied all the food and all that stuff. I supplied everything in the house and, you know, I had this really nice poker table. No, I never took any more than I, but everybody paid for the sandwiches and stuff that, you know, that I got. So
how the hell was she making money? Just off tips?
Yes. Okay. I guess.
God, man. Pays to be a pretty girl, huh?
She had like... 4 or 5 people working for her too.
Mm-hmm.
God, she must be getting some big tips because, yeah, I don't, yeah, I never even thought about that. How is she making money?
I don't know.
Well,
yeah, I guess we got to read the book.
You got to tip her to get, you know, come back. Next week.
That's right. I mean, yeah, I mean, so it is like kind of an implied,
yeah.
You know, you're paying for your spot for the next week. Rigs spot in the middle of the game. These guys offer to be her muscle. She says no. They send a bruiser over to beat the hell out of her.
Pretty scary.
We watch a lot of movies with women getting the crap beat out of them.
What is it with Hollywood?
I don't know.
Stop it.
I don't know.
She really gets nailed, too. That guy. He's pretty rough.
Yeah. Anyway, so then she's wanting to get out of it. Her card game's getting raided. Now we're back at the present. Back with Idris, and he's going to war for, like, he's, you know, you say, yeah, come on, like, what are you doing? Like, she's, you know, she's doing nothing worse than, like, the guys at Wall Street or whatever. And eventually the judge agrees.
That was his thing.
Yeah, that's what he said, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he said that she's done no worse than these guys do every day before noon on Wall Street. You call it spitting distance.
I know, because I try to spit at it. And then we end with, you know, her just saying, like, yeah, I wonder what's next, kind of thing.
And the judge was played by Graham Greene, who is always good in whatever he does.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's my Oh, That's guy.
Yeah.
Oh, That guy.
Yeah.
So that's the plot. I mean, I don't think I left much out.
Yeah.
So my Oh, It's That Guy is Graham Greene. I don't know if you had a different one.
I had Chris Dowd.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's always good.
Chris O'Dowd. I mean, yeah, he's always good.
Here's a question: yeah. Is he legit Irish?
Yes.
Okay, because I've seen him in other stuff, but now I didn't know. Like, is he?
I think he is. I saw him in. There's a Netflix show. It was only on one season. It's called Get Shorty.
Uh huh.
And he played the John Travolta character, or no, who was it? Who was in Get Shorty?
Yeah, John. He was like the lead.
Yeah, it was a. It was just a television series. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and he played the lead in that. But it was only one season.
Yeah, I know him from Bridesmaids.
Hmm. But he's in a lot now. Yeah, Get Shorty. Oh, is that actually? There was 27 episodes. I didn't even realize it. Wow. I have to go back and watch that. It was pretty good.
All right. I'm glad that we're curating your TV viewing live on the pod.
His name was Miles Daly in that show. Yeah. But that's my... I always like him.
Yeah. He's one of those guys that shows you, oh, I like that guy.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
He's
yeah.
always... I mean, he's... Yeah. I don't know that I've ever seen him play a very serious role, but he's funny. You know, he brings what he needs to bring.
Right.
All right, Matt. Who do you think stole it?
Idris?
Oh, yeah,
he's the best actor in the world. He's so good.
Like, I'm like, why is, okay, maybe it's my fault. Like, my first reaction was like, why is Idris not in more stuff?
Right.
And maybe I'm just not watching it. I don't know. Right. Maybe he's in a bunch of stuff and I'm not seeking it out. But yeah, every little monologue that he had, he killed it. His, like, he had that, he could handle that Sorkin dialogue. He was, bam, like, the impeccable timing.
The plea he makes to the prosecutors, which was a great scene.
Yeah, it didn't have that, like, you know, can't handle the truth moment or anything that, you know.
But it was still a wonder. It was a great moment. Great scene for him.
No, you look.
No, what are you going to implore me to do the right thing?
This woman does not belong in a RICO indictment. Are you out of your minds? She does not belong in a mob indictment. She rigged a game, that's it. For 7 months, 2 years ago. And why? Because she was giving credit in the millions and she didn't want to use muscle to collect. She has had opportunity after opportunity to greatly benefit herself by just telling the real stories that she knows. Okay, I have the forensic imaging going back to 2007. And I'm talking about text messages, emails, movie stars, rock stars, athletes, billionaires, all explicit. Some married with kids, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. What about the guy that comes this close to being the U.S. ambassador in Monaco? He's withdrawn from consideration at the last minute. No one knows why. She does. CEOs with college-age mistresses, an SVP of an investment bank who wanted Molly to put a Mark Deck in a game, the head of a movie studio that texted that a particular movie star was too black for his liking. I mean, J. Edgar Hoover didn't have this much shit on Bobby.
I also liked the scene where he first meets her. You know, that first interaction in their office was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Them together was always good.
Very interesting. And then they threw in the young girl, the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of okay.
Kind of funny, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a weird thing. So this movie made me appreciate Tom Cruise.
Okay, we're going somewhere. I have no idea where. But...
Because, like, I don't know that Sorkin is the best writer for Jessica Chastain.
Right.
And I think, and like, especially her longer stuff, I was like, man, I bet Tom Cruise would have nailed that.
Yeah, I could have made it, could have been...
I'm not saying put Tom Cruise in a wig or whatever. Yeah, I'm just saying, like... I mean, I wish Tom Cruise and Sorkin did more stuff together because I feel like they...
Right.
I feel like... I don't know. I just feel like when I hear the words coming out of some people's mouths, I'm like, ah, it sounds like something Tom Cruise would say.
I know Tom Cruise gets kind of a bad rap. I think he's a good actor myself. I think he does well. He makes the right choices, too, for one of his movies, you know?
I mean, he only makes... beloved classics.
Right, you know
what
right.
I mean? Like, I mean, what are his stinkers?
Remember him in Magnolia? How good he was?
Mm-hmm.
He was great in that.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Costner?
Get out of my face, Kevin Costner. like, I'm just like... Like, I have... Like, I'm... You know, maybe I shouldn't say it like that. I'm just like, I'm just like, hey, man, isn't there like a ranch somewhere for you? Like,
do you have a television show on? Right,
like, I just, I'm, you didn't need to be in this movie. I don't know. The whole dad thing was a little bit weird for me, but maybe it resonates with a, you know, the female audience more than I am thinking of, but I don't know. It's just,
it's Tom Cruise. I mean, he's like Kevin Costner. He's Kevin Costner, you know.
But like his arc was so weird, right? Because he's an asshole, and then like at the end, it's like actually, I'm pretty good.
That's the scene that I didn't like was the end, that final scene, because that it turned. It's like, oh, now she feels sorry for me because I've opened up my heart to her because you know blah blah blah. She's and all of a sudden, it felt like he manipulated her into.
Yeah, you've hated me your whole life because I was cheating on your mom and putting undue pressure on you, and I'm a total psychopath.
Right.
But actually, maybe I'm the reason you're successful.
Right.
It's like, fuck you.
Okay, I'll take credit for that.
Right. So you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have anything against Kevin Costner, like, personally, but, like, I don't know. Just, could you just not do movies anymore? This is 2017, so maybe he is done. I know he
does have his own television show about the Yellowstone.
Yeah. He's also like invested in this app where if you drive around, Kevin Costner will tell you about like the history of the area.
Oh my god! That's pretty cool.
It's a pretty cool idea. So he's gonna be an app billionaire here once he gets up and running. I don't know what it's called, but I'm sure anyone listening can search it out. All right, Matt, so community college film professor, when I was watching this, I don't know, like this movie felt like very thin. Like, I don't know if that even makes sense. That's just the word that I kept thinking of. Like, I felt a lot of it was like a how to.
Right.
And then there was like some moments, like really just her and Idris where like, oh,
yeah,
that's a movie. The rest was like, hey, you want to set up a poker game? Here's how you do it.
The next morning, I made appointments at the Four Seasons, the Peninsula, and the Beverly Hills Hotel. The suite was $5,200 a night. I spent $17,000 on a shuffle master that was installed in the table. Faster, more reliable shuffles, less downtime between hands. Food was brought in from Mr. Chow and available to eat on the side tables. There was Macallan 18, Belvedere, 1942, Remy Martin, and an 88 Lafitte Rothschild served by a bartender who already memorized your drink. Cohibas and Monte Cristo were in the humidor. A professional stylist turned me into what my defense attorney would later call the Cinemax version of myself.
Yeah, I think it went too long with some of that stuff too. I mean, I don't know. We know all about this character, and we don't really seem to know a lot about her at the end of the movie. That's the way I felt. When you said it was thin, I thought, yeah, there's a lot of character, you know, development through, like, the Kevin Costner scenes and all that stuff, but I still don't really know Molly. Why the fuck did she do this? You know? Well, really, why? I mean, you could have, like our father says, you could have done anything. You know, and he said, oh, you're just trying to, you know, be ruling over a powerful man or some bullshit, you know, that kind of stuff. But yeah, I don't know. We don't really know much about this character. And I don't know. Yeah, it's not a real deep movie. Not a little deep dive into anything here, except poker.
Yeah, just sort of like very cursory. I mean, yeah, it was just like, this is just kind of like, it's just more like a telling of events, you know? It felt almost like documentary style in some ways.
And in the time when this supposedly took place, how huge was poker back then? It was huge.
It's true.
It was big. Everybody was playing, you know? But I don't think it's that huge anymore. But, I mean, ESPN still carries the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, I would maybe watch it.
It's kind of interesting. I like poker. I like watching it, you know.
There used to be a celebrity poker game on, cool, on some show. And like, yeah, depending on the players, it's really like, I think Norm MacDonald was on there sometimes. And like, I can't think of what's now, but
yeah, a lot of people were on it.
All right, Matt, any lines stood out to you?
No, not really.
So I'll give a bad one, then a couple of ones that I liked. So some were a little bit too cute, which makes me think like this felt like it was directly from the book, mm-hmm. where, or maybe this is just Sorkin, just like, you know, this is like, you know, like, you know, just, you know, rail number 8 or whatever, where the FBI's busting her and they're holding like the paper. Can you read that? It says the United States versus Molly Bloom. And she says, I bet heavy on the favorite. Yeah, you're that snappy. Woken up in the middle of the night.
You got a gun to your head. And you're going, oh. You break out the snappy repartee. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, a couple other ones. We already mentioned this. I mean, this was like kind of the common theme between Player X and our croupier. I don't like playing poker. I like destroying lives. Fuck you, Tobey Maguire. Why are you such a dick?
Tobey Maguire's an asshole.
You were Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Just chill out.
Yeah, Cider House rules, man. What the hell?
Come on. Other movies that I can't think of because I really, in my mind, you
Pleasant
want to
Spider-Man.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I know, because Gloria watched it the other night.
A couple other funny ones. The Russian guy who walks in with the Monet.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
He's like, I woke up this morning after the bank closed. That felt like
that was a great line.
It felt like a Dean Frank Sinatra or like Dean Martin line.
Yeah,
you know?
Dean, it sounds more like Dean Martin.
Yeah,
I woke up this morning after the bank's closed.
Perfect. That is so good.
That is a great line.
And then J. Edgar Hoover didn't have this much shit on Bobby. Always
true.
Good. All right, Matt. Anything we didn't mention? I was going to mention the Idris monologues, but I think we already covered that.
Yeah.
Any other scenes that
the final scene, or not the final scene, but the judge was kind of cool, you know, when he has to ask her 87 questions.
Is that true? Is that really how our legal system works?
I hope not. I was a judge. I go, have you read this? Okay. I'm not reading it.
I'm going to hand it to you. You just check them, right? You just check. Just... and it just like wait for it.
Yeah, you wait for it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And yeah, like you said, Graham Greene, pretty good. Any lingering questions or thoughts?
No, people should check it out. It's an interesting movie. It's got the Sorkin vibe to it. So
it's very light. It's very much like a. Hey, it's Thursday night. You're with your significant other. Hey, it's the old Molly's Game. I haven't seen this. It hurts good. Boom. Mm-hmm. 2 hours. This movie sails.
No, it doesn't. It does not drag at all. Yeah.
And that's the opposite of what we almost always say, right? Right. Because we also have terrible attention spans. So, yeah, this movie kept my attention the entire time. All right, Matt, you're yawning.
That's
okay. I'm telling you, next time. If we do it after hours, we'll do happy hour. We'll do some.
We got to do that.
We'll do some bourbon.
Yeah, we do.
All right, Matt. What do you want? You want to guess the scores here?
Yep.
IMDb. Oh, 156,000 people checking in.
Really?
Holy
to this
crap.
One?
Yeah. Okay. As you consider the score, that surprises me because the box office was not so good.
No, I don't think it would. Not one of those movies people would be flocking to the box office, is it?
The box office isn't terrible, but. Yeah.
I'm going to go...
Hold on.
Okay.
$30 million budget estimated. They don't know. And U.S. gross, $28 million. Worldwide gross, $59 million.
Yeah, broke even.
So, I mean, they made their money back, but I just... No. It's just... you figured... I guess there's no huge star in it, right?
No.
Should have got Cruz.
Should have made him a man. Molly should have been a man.
Cruz and Dre, Marty's game. This is Marty's game now.
I'm going to guess 7.5.
You went 1 point high, 7.4.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I figure it was middle sevens.
I think that's, I would put it.
More close to seven?
I don't know. It's, because we always see the Scarecrow threshold, 7.3.
Mm-hmm.
I like Scarecrow a lot more than this,
mm-hmm.
but they're totally different styles of movies, so it's hard to even compare them. 7.3, maybe. I think 7.4, whatever. Let it stand.
Miss Sloan is better.
Okay, what's that about?
A lobbyist. She plays a lobbyist.
Is she really snappy and smart and everything's good about her?
She's everything is in this movie.
Okay, okay, cool. Great. God, it's been a couple years. I'm waiting for another movie about how perfect Jessica Chastain is.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Rotten Tomato meter?
I'm going to go 8.9.
81%.
Ooh, low.
304 reviews. That might be the most we've ever seen.
That's a lot.
That's a huge amount.
Yeah.
Damn. I mean,
you think it's Sorkin?
I don't know, but I mean the amount of reviews versus the
amount of people who saw it.
I guess it was on Netflix for a while, so yeah. Maybe just a lot of people checked it out there. But yeah. So yeah, it was 81%. An audience is slightly higher.
I'll go 84.
Yep. 84. See, I'm trying to find a good. See if I find a reviewer here that we appreciate. Christian Science Monitor.
All right.
No, we won't do that one.
Used to party with those guys.
Yeah. let's see. This is a bit of a long one. Film Comment Magazine. Overall, the film comes across as robustly offering testimony for the subject rather than really offering a portrait. Yep.
Yep, we were right.
It rather presents itself as a character witness for the woman of more probity and principle than her chosen career would suggest. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was a positive review. All right, Matt. The consensus is... powered by an intriguing story and a pair of outstanding performances from Jessica Chastain and Idris Elba, Molly's Game marks a solid debut for writer-director Aaron Sorkin. It's a good review. Good first directorial debut, I suppose.
Sure. I didn't realize it was his first. He's only done the Chicago 7, was his second.
And this one.
And then he's got one that he's making about the Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz, the Ricardos or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, so next up?
We're going to do... what are we doing? I can't remember. God, do you remember?
Let's see. Oh, True Crime.
Oh, True Crime, yeah. True Crime. I'm having you watch In Cold Blood.
And I'm having you watch Alpha Dog.
Alpha Dog. I like the name.
You get to see Justin Timberlake's acting chops.
I've enjoyed stuff that I've seen him in.
Hey, well, you probably enjoy this too.
Okay, all right.
All right, we got it here?
Yep.
Peace.
Bye.
He's a Philistine.
What's a Philistine?
It's a guy who doesn't care about books or interesting films and things.
Then I'm a Philistine.
No, you're interested in books and things.
No, I'm a Philistine.
You've been shitting in my yard.
I have not.
You want me to hold the chicken, huh?
I want you to hold it between your knees.
So, Jane, what'd you do here in effect to count boners?
It's fun.